I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
On who and what was thrown at that gentleman, and that gentleman has been ejected, but it was an ugly, ugly sight. I can't circle. I don't have my Telestrator today, but here comes a pizza. See it? Oh, jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
And the Bulldog.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. So just get beer all over. And here comes
some pizza.
On WGR.
That was an awful sight here at Fenway, and that kid, that is not tolerated in this ballpark. He has been ejected and never again allowed to buy pizza.
Sports Radio 550.
So, Rene Robert, Bulldog and I both went to games in the odd. I might have gone to one or two games Robert played in for the Sabres or even for the Rockies. But in Bulldog's case, more memories of him, French Connection, you know, peak French Connection years, all of that. I'm just sitting here thinking about when it comes to Robert, his life was much more than hockey. He was really visible locally as a representing the Sabres, as we've talked about a lot today. I'm thinking again about how on Grand Island, he lived on Grand Island at least for some amount of years, and he would be at that beautiful, awesome Miracle League field. He would be helping out there and making appearances there. Like he did a lot of that. When you're thinking about him as a player and sort of bringing this all out, as we talk about his playing career, I'm just sitting here thinking about how each time we end up, for whatever reason, getting into those teams, the odd, that era, talking with Paul about how, yeah, imagine a line playing together for 8 years in a row.
Right.
It's just like each time there are fewer people who remember it. Mm-hmm. You know, each time it's just a little bit different. I was talking to a friend who told me a story about being injured as a child at a game, at a Sabres game, like, you know, or it was not a Sabres game, but it was a point. Anyway, I was going to try to make a point about how it was in like a newer facility, and like, wait a minute, you were a kid and that wasn't at the odd, like you were a kid at the arena. Like that's what we're talking. It's just like Joe would be this way. Joe wasn't even born.
Right.
The Sabres were in the arena when Joe was born. Like, anyway, it's obvious, and everybody knows that, you know, we get older, but it's just like each time we bring it up, it's once in a while, and it's just like that much longer ago, and that many fewer people can really sort of like tell you what it was like, which makes us doing it either good or bad because,
well,
you know, we did both do that. We did both go to games there.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, you know, well, you know, we don't do so much of it or too much of it that it's, you know, oh my God, listen to Grandpa talking on the radio about, you know, about the olden days. I mean, it certainly is, and you're not saying different, you know, highly appropriate to be doing it today. But man, yeah, I mean, just the way you're putting that now, like I wonder, like how many kids, you know, how many kids went to their first game at the arena. You know, whatever age they would have been, 12 years old, even 15, or maybe they went much sooner than that, and see the French Connection banner hanging there, and like what is that, was a line? I mean, doesn't Lindy slash Phil Housley / Ralph Krueger change the lines all the time? Like, Eichel's playing with all these different people all the time, and it's always changing. And there was just so much less of that back then. You just had that sort of stability. I mean, I don't know for how many games in a row, you know, health notwithstanding, you would have had, you know, the French Connection, you know, Gilbert, Rene Robert, and Rick Martin, and Don Luce, Craig Ramsey, and Danny Gare together for. But it feels like every game from like 74, 75 until Danny got traded. And I know that that's not right. I can remember maybe Scotty Bowman splitting up the French Connection and that being a big deal in my house, my dad being, you know, critical of that. At least that's how I remember it. I don't know. Maybe he supported it. Maybe I was critical of it. I don't recall now. But it they had such stability in their lineup for a very long time that it was jarring. When, you know, Danny and Schoenfeld and those guys, when they got traded, it was like, what? You know, and of course, Rene was already gone by then. It was, and so was Rick. But it was just jarring to have anything that upset that because you were just sort of so used to the same guys. Really, in my mind, I'm thinking the same guys in the same spots in the lineup with the same other guys for a very long time, and that's just a very foreign concept. We talked about it earlier, like, you know, how many wingers has Sidney Crosby played with in his career? I mean, it's probably a damn long list by now, and, you know, certainly Gilbert on the Sabres later in his career into the 80s would have played with a lot of different people, but when they were a young, hot, contending team, that was it. He played with Rick Martin and Rene Robert. That was it for a good chunk of years. And so to have a banner with the name of the line on it maybe doesn't even make sense to kids who go into the arena for the first time because they know that the lineup is not something that is, you know, it's always in flux. It's often changing, and line mates are changing all the time. And it's such a cool thing that, you know, we got to experience it that way. I'm not here to tell you better, worse, whatever. It was just so different. And the whole experience, I mean, we've talked about the odd, you know, many times, and it was just a very different thing, a very serious feeling thing, whereas going to the arena has felt like kind of going to a carnival, whereas going to the odd felt like, you know, this was, and I don't think that's just our age, like, you know, at the time we were doing it. I don't think my kids ever felt like going to the arena was a serious thing. Whereas the odd was intimidating. The arena is more welcoming, you know? And, you know, I think that's better probably, but I liked the aura, and the players were a part of that, you know, people smoking in the corridors, players with no helmets on, just a very different, it's a very different thing.
Bring back smoking?
not, Joe, not is that what I heard? For bringing back
corridor
smoking.
Smoking?
Just saying it was a part of, you know, how
yeah.
Daunting it felt to go in there as a 10 or 12
well,
year old kid.
That's the rest of it. You're not an adult, right? We both went there,
right?
And I would tell you the same thing about the aura, like, okay, this is a serious place. This is a lot of people packed in a small space, not used to this. But I'm also 9, so, you know, it was like especially intimidating because of that. I did go there as an adult later, but it wasn't new then either. Corridor Smoke is a good fantasy team name. Corridor Smoke.
Corridor Smoke.
Which team is he? He's the Corridor Smoke. Yeah, like everything's different. Accessibility, these players. I mean, I'm talking about how people in the community came to know Robert through different, you know, charity events, different appearances, whatever it might have been. But you could also have met those players out after games. You know, I mean, that was more likely anyway, just in town, right? That was also how sports was different, as we know. But I like the point about just like the consistency of that roster and that lineup. That is probably six years or so where all of those, that's how it became that they're so well remembered. Like all of those guys are on that team. And one guy's moved every once in a while, but really your stars were your stars for much of that decade. Robert was traded to Colorado right before the first season with Bowman as coach. So, like, Bowman would have done it. This feels like a story I should know, but it isn't. So he takes over after 79. 79, Robert is on the team. They lose to Pittsburgh. George Ferguson, and I can, at least I think I can, remember watching that game on a Saturday afternoon on a small TV. They get eliminated in overtime in the odd. They get upset by the Penguins, and that's a sudden end to that season. Bowman takes over the next year after taking Montreal to a fourth straight Stanley Cup, leaves the Canadiens, and comes to the Sabres. Well, that's a story I want to that's a day I want to relive.
You know, right.
Scotty Bowman is taking over. That must have just been surreal. And Robert, according to HockeyReference.com, is traded on October 5th of 79 for John Van Boxmeer, 1-for-1. So that would have been right before the season. And I should know the story, like the backstory of that, and I do not.
Yeah. Well, so I botched it then when I said that he
broke
them
up.
That's
breaking them up.
Well, he broke them up, right, but he did not he did not play them on different lines. He just sent Rene away.
Like, sent him to the Rockies.
Right, right.
So you don't know either?
No, I don't. And I, I mean, to think of, though, like of what, you know, what that would have been like now, right? Like a coach. I mean, Bowman was it like Belichick leaving the Patriots
right.
to come coach the Bills.
Right.
Is what that was in hockey for Bowman to leave all that success in Montreal. I guess, you know, at the time it probably was written. I don't really remember. Like I would not have known then if Scotty Bowman was living in the area then, or if he came to live here after having coached them, or how that happened. But like how they got him to come here is probably a really great story that I don't have a lot of knowledge about.
Yeah, me neither. But that was the end of Robert's career with the Sabres. He was a Leaf in the beginning, he played a few games. Like he was their property, then Pittsburgh, and here for Eddie Shack, whose name came up yesterday. This is 2 days in a row of Eddie Shack
right.
being mentioned on our show. That's probably
a
record for Eddie Shack on this show. Then Robert's long career with the Sabres, the Rockies, and then back to the Leafs. He bookends his career with stints in Toronto. Let's hear from Danny Gare, Joe. You have that. Gare was on with the Instigators today, I believe. And I told you, I think I said on the air, I reached out to him, and he just politely said, I don't think I could do any more interviews. It's just so right. awkward when you call on these guys after someone close in their lives has died. And so I completely respect Danny's choice in that one. But he was on earlier, and here are some of his thoughts on Robert.
He has an amazing career here. When you looked at Rene, I mean, I said that he was that final piece of the puzzle for the connection, and he came as an unknown, really, from Pittsburgh for a very popular player back 2 years before I came, and Eddie Shack. I mean, clear the track. Here comes Shack. But Rene was 23, still very young, and Joe Crozier, I mean, he found the fit and put them with Gilbert and Rico, and boy, they never looked back. When I was drafted by the Sabres in the second round by Punch Imlach, I was also drafted by the Winnipeg Jets by John Ferguson, and the WHA was really trying to get young players to go to their league, and the offer was very similar to what the Sabres made. But I remember playing my junior in Calgary and watching, you know, the first year the Sabres went to the playoffs, and it was amazing to see a young team, you know, take the Canadiens to six games, and then the fans said, "Thank you, Sabres. Thank you, Sabres," and they just stood up for, you know, a standing ovation after they lost game six. And I said, wow, what a great thing to see and to be in front of. And the big part of it was obviously the French Connection, and they had certainly guys like Jim Schoenfeld and Rick Dudley and younger guys, Jerry Korab at the time. So that's when I met him. I came to training camp, and I was a bit in awe of Rene and Gilbert and Rico, and almost to a point wanted to ask him for their autograph. We gelled as a team that year and went on to making the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, when you look at his accomplishments, 3 overtime goals, 552 points, and I mean, over 500 games, 222 goals. And the big part, too, where he was big, again, I go to big games, were playoffs. In 47 playoff games for the Sabres, he had 22 goals. He almost won every other game. And he just rose to the occasion when needed. Rene was a competitive player. He worked hard. What I enjoyed about him was his compete. He hated to lose. He hated to lose. And the bigger the game, the better he played. And the other side of it, too, he did things people had no clue about in his generosity. You know, there was a neighbor of his that lived down in Punta Gorda, and she was 92 years old. And during the pandemic, you know, I heard this from a friend of mine, that he would go get her groceries every day to go. And then he painted her lanai, you know, he'd walk her dog. Like, those were just things that Rene did out of his own. And what he did for our alumni, he was one of the first guys to try to get medical, dental, anything to help the former player out. And he had a huge, huge heart. You know, he came across as this gruff, tough guy, but really he was a caring, giving guy. And I just got to know more and more about him when he came down here and moved back to Buffalo when we both became ambassadors. But we got to really spend some great time, and I am going to miss him.
Beautiful. From Danny Gare today on WGR. If you want to join us on Rene Robert's career in life, 803-0550 is the number. I just like a guy, as Gare referenced late, and the way Don Luce talked about him, that he just had a sort of a seriousness, at least exteriorly, where you don't know that the very few times I ever interacted with him, he would make me wonder what he was thinking, you know, like,
yeah.
You just the masks kind of did this, where you would approach people or see them and just not know what their facial expression really means because you couldn't see it. But Robert, in just those 2 or 3 interactions, was kind of like that. And I still don't know if he was serious when he went up to Joe Crozier in that locker room before that charity game, but it felt great. I wanted it to be serious. Complaining about how Crozier didn't play him in a playoff game once. It was awesome.
Oh, I know. Like, there are guys, I mean, we've, you know, in this job, you know, I certainly feel fortunate to have met and interacted with so many of the guys who've come through and played for the team, and even guys who've stayed around for many, many years and made their you know, long-term permanent homes here. You know, you get to know them, and you think back, I do anyway, on, like, first meeting them, and, you know, you're the guy on the radio. So you never know for sure. Like, here, these guys, you know, they've got probably really strong, informed opinions about the game, right? And here you are. You're this guy that, you know, played midget A hockey for South Buffalo. Like, that's the peak of your life playing the sport, right? You're like the last guy picked for the team. And, like, different interactions with guys. Some guys can't wait. I can remember meeting Larry Playfair for the first time. And he introduced himself to me. Said, "Are you Bulldog? I think I recognize you. I just want to tell you, I like how you talk about the game. I think you know it. I think you know what you're talking about. And I appreciate that. And I was like, wow, Larry, thank you. That's really great to meet you. And then he shook my hand and crushed it.
Yes.
Meeting Rene every time, even after, like, even, you know, beyond the first meeting, every time you would approach him or he would approach you, I'd be like, does he think I don't know what I'm talking? Does he think I'm an idiot? There was this uneasiness that you had, just like you said, like the look on his face, you just could never read him. And so you never knew. And then he might say something that was kind of critical, and you'd wonder, like, is he serious? Is he just ribbing me? Am I supposed to reevaluate how I do my job now? Like, he just had this really interesting effect. And again, like, at the time, maybe I didn't always appreciate it because it made me uneasy, but, like, looking back on it now, I adore that about him, that he, anybody that has the ability to do that to you, I think, and likes to have fun with it, I can really appreciate. And I think he just had that quality, that he could just sort of put you on your heels a little bit and then sort of, you know, ease up and let you know that it's okay. And he maybe more than any other pro athlete I've ever interacted with, You know, like Rob razzes you. Like he and Paul have this relationship. I mean, they're like Archie and Edith Bunker, for crying out loud, the two of them, the way they get it after each other. And Rob can be that way with almost anyone, especially if he knows you and I think if he likes you. But you know he's kidding. Renee, you never really knew for sure if he was kidding. You know, he's sort of like, I don't know. I feel weird now because I think you think I'm a tool bag. I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to be handling myself. And I don't know. I'm smiling here as I'm saying all this because, I've grown to really admire that about who he was.
You're saying Rob was kidding all these times?
I think so.
Hate that guy.
I'm pretty
I
confident.
Hate that guy.
I
mean, he's just not. He's always whacking at me. You're telling me I'm supposed to like Rob Ray?
Yeah, I think so.
You think it's all a big joke to him? You're saying? All right. I'm gonna have to process that.
If he didn't tease you,
then he doesn't like you.
Right. He's not interested in having any kind of relationship with you if he's not razzing you. That's the way that Rob has always been.
And that works for people?
Yes, I think so.
It can
and
work
they
for
love
people?
It when you they love it if you can give it back to them too.
Oh, like, I can't
you
give
know,
it back
and
to them.
You got to get to a level where you feel half decent about that.
I've got to work on my relationship with Rob. Maybe I can get him into a fantasy league.
He asked, Owen came to visit, this is a couple years ago, came to see us at 716 at one point. I don't think you were there for this exchange. Maybe you had that day off. I don't know. But Owen was there, and Rob offered to sign something of Owen's. I don't know. I don't think it was the Rob Ray jersey, because I think we would have absolutely had him sign that, because I've joked about how I've got this Rob Ray jersey, the original white Sabre jersey, and I've never had him sign it. But he asked, do you want me to sign that? And Owen looked at him and said, what am I going to do with that? And like, Rob looked at me and just like, I'm like, that was perfect. That is exactly how you handle Rob Ray. You just give it right back to him.
Nice. We'll take a break, have the update, and talk some more about Rennie Robert and a few other things as well as we go towards 7 o'clock. Then the nightcap with Sneaky Joe. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Taken out of the play by Robert, and Korab gains control. 107 left in the penalties to Meehan and Schmutz. As Peril swings away from his own blue line, he skates to center, through the Boston line, in over the line. Had it knocked off his stick by Orr. Peril, left point now, trying to move in front. Gives it to Robert into the corner. Peril works in front. Robert, the shot scores! Rene Robert!
Oh, Robert used Peril just perfectly on the play.
Yeah, that is taking us back. February of 1974, you hear Ted Darling on that Rene Robert goal.
And Rick Jennerette doing color.
And Rick Jennerette with Ted Darling, right?
I was going to say that sounds like Rick, but I don't remember that. Wow, that's incredible. So cool.
What's the best? Is that YouTube?
Yeah.
What's the best 70s Sabres game to watch back? Is it one of those Soviet games? Or is there... That game you like where Danny Gare scores in overtime, that is game 5, I think, Montreal in 75?
I think
Robert scores in game 1 in overtime of that series.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's definitely not the clincher. It's earlier in the series than that, the Gare goal. But it's great. It's a 6-5 game, I think, final score, 6-5. So I don't remember the particulars. It's been a long time since I've thought about looking at it, but I'll bet that's a riot to watch.
I have it backwards. Robert scores in overtime of game 5. Gare in game 1.
Danny, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if those games are up, I'm not sure they are.
Yeah.
I haven't looked for 70 Sabres a lot. I know I've watched Red Army, I think. I think I watched that game on YouTube once, or maybe I just have a DVD of it. I don't know. Like, what is the game you want? Is it even like that? Like football, it is okay. What Bills game would you want to watch back? I mean, that's, you just sort of think of them and you can pick one. Is it like that with this? It's sort of maybe hard to decide.
I think there's probably so many, there's so much scoring, there's probably so many games that you could pick and just be like, wow, look at that, and try to not think about the goaltending.
Yeah, Joe.
Just watch the playmaking, so and just be like, it is, it can be very challenging. But I bet there's a bunch of games that would meet the criteria for being way more entertaining than the majority of hockey games we watch nowadays, as much as I think the game is great right now, generally speaking. These playoffs have been kind of bogged down, especially Montreal and Vegas, but nonetheless, I think if you find a random game there, I'll bet it's going to be a ton of fun to watch, just to listen to the announcers, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these games I'm thinking of, this Montreal series might be it. 75 semis, that might be it. You don't want to watch Philadelphia because they lose.
All right.
I mean, the Fog game, is that even watchable? It's like you can't even see the ice.
Right.
There's game six. I've seen game six of the finals, which is when the Flyers win the Stanley Cup. That's not any fun. The Sabres don't even score a goal, I think.
Well, that's not a great outing.
That's no good. I've watched games from that Islander series in 80. And that's, now I'm at the point where I'm following the team. And there's that game two where they lose on the Nystrom goal. That isn't any fun. They lose that game. I mean, they win a lot of these games. They had to have to get to the semifinals. Right. But I don't know any games from, like, earlier in those playoffs that they're probably out. There's probably some of them out there. But what is it?
There's another. I was searching through Robert goals that are available on YouTube, and like one of them is from a Rangers game three. In 78.
Yes.
It's like a series in a game that I like would never have known existed if there wasn't a video of it.
Okay. Now, can you find that?
Yeah. Just give me 1 minute.
Because that is in New York. And they win that series in 3 games. So maybe that would be a good choice. I know I've seen, you know how MSG does the vault with Al Troutwig? I mean, I think, I'm not sure they're still doing new.
That series has been featured on
yes.
that show, because I came across it one time.
Don Murdoch.
Randomly. Yeah.
Right? Don Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got something, Joe?
Passes to Dillon. Dillon checked by Height. Now Wayne Dillon gets it again for New York. Dillon number 9. Got it to the Buffalo line. Height cleared it away, and here comes Big Jerry Korab. Korab moving into Richard Martin to Korab. Check for the score! Robert! After Korab had been pulled down, Robert was there, and it's 4-1 Buffalo.
All right, so
that's obviously in Buffalo. That is the deciding game of that series.
It's in Buffalo. And
that's
it says 1978 game 3.
That's it. That's my pick. That is a deciding game 3. Best of 3. And they lose in game 2 in New York on Murdoch. I think that's the goal scorer, but this is to decide, and that's Dan Kelly, who's my all-time favorite.
Well, there you go.
That's the game. Is the whole game up?
No, that one is just like a couple of minutes. So.
Well, there goes that. That's the game I wanted. A 4-1 Sabre win to eliminate the Rangers and go to round 2, which is who? Who do they play in round 2?
78, boy.
They might lose to the Islanders in round 2.
This is where, you know, I know this stuff is all readily available, but in this kind of job for a long time, the media guides, like, I would just sit in the office and just, I think I had their playoff rounds memorized at one point in my life. I just felt like that was something I might want to have. I'm going to be the guy talking on the radio, and if we ever are reminiscing, I want to be able to have it. And that has just, that is, I've not kept up on that. I've not practiced that in a while. I have no idea who they played after they played the Rangers in 1978. And if you'd asked me, did they ever play the Rangers in the playoffs 5 minutes ago, I would have said, maybe. a lot of stuff is cloudy for me.
Until Drury, anyway.
Right. Well, of course, right. Like, as a kid, right. Yeah, sure.
It's Philadelphia. They lose in 5 in round 2 to Philadelphia, 78. Yeah, I'd love to find one game and just, like, live blog it or something, just watch one of those old games, but I gotta pick one. The Soviet games are really cool. There's one with the Soviet Union where you see all the introductions, Milt Ellis announcing every player, and I mean, you said it before, I think there's a super energy, like there's just serious energy in that building.
That Soviet Wings game, they MSG rebroadcast that last spring or summer, whenever again they were making their way through all that, and that game against the Soviet Wings, the 12-6 game, had the introductions on it when they rebroadcast it, because I watched it, and it was really, really cool to see all those guys get introduced like that.
I don't know what happens in these games, but just from a quick search, I already see games 1 and 2 of the 75 Canadian series are in full.
Okay, I mean that's about as good as you're going to do. Game 1 of that series, Guerra's overtime goal. Think of the names. Think of the names on Montreal.
Oh my gosh.
That's everybody.
They're all in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I mean it's LaFleur and Cornwallier and Henri Richard and Serge Savard and Bob Gainey. It's such a stacked team. Oh my gosh.
Big Robinson.
Right, Big Robinson, Guy Lapointe. Yeah.
So I think that might be Danny Gallivan too. I've watched that. I've watched some of that. I think that's maybe Gallivan. Gallivan and Dick Irvin, that's going to be great.
I just love how random it is. Like, because then right below that, it's Sabres Penguins from December 22nd, 1977.
There aren't that many. I mean, a lot of those games were lost. I mean, they're just, it's hockey. They're not, mm-hmm. not every game would have been on TV in the first place.
1980, Buffalo, Vancouver, game 4.
Good.
Also in here.
That's whole thing? Yep. Whole thing?
Yeah, Harry Neal is the coach. Like, the little picture that they show. So that's for Vancouver.
He's the coach of the yep. Canucks probably.
Yeah.
That year.
Yeah, I'm into that
boy,
too.
You ain't kidding with they weren't on TV. Like I'm not positive of this, but in 75, the home game being on, like game 1 against Montreal, it was a big deal. Like I don't know if maybe the round before that is Chicago, if the home games were even on TV. Mm-hmm. But now they're in the semis, and like we're going to put it on TV. I remember watching that on TV and it being so exciting to see the odd on television.
The problem with putting it on TV is you have to take something off TV to put it on TV.
Right, and there weren't that many channels to put other stuff on.
What are we going to take off TV for this?
Right.
I don't know.
Yep.
Something popular. Well, this is fun. It's a sad occasion with the death of Rene Robert. If you want to talk about him, the player, or maybe you got to know him or something, or met him somewhere and want to share that with us, that'd be great. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here on WGR. Welcome back, everybody. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, reminiscing about great Sabre teams that Rene Robert, the late Rene Robert, was such an integral part of. 803-0550 to reach us. Here is James next. Hello, James. James, are you there? Sorry. It takes some amount of time, more than 0 seconds, for me to like push the button down. And
yep.
It was right as he started to talk. Well, call us back and we'll get you on after the update. Here is Al next. Hello, Al.
Hello?
Hi,
Al. You're on the air. Go ahead. Yeah.
About 10 years ago, I'd say, maybe it was 11, 12, I used to go to Summit Fitness. I used to use the exercise machines and all. And I remember Rene Robert had a membership, too. And in the locker room, he was a good guy. He would engage people. He did have that kind of cantankerous way about him, but he just was a good man and modest and one of the things I remember, I mean, I think I wanted to say he was a little concerned about the expansion to so many teams. I think he was, if I remember correctly, worried about a little bit of dilution of play in the NHL. And when you think about it, when he played, there was a lot less number of teams. But the number one thing I remember about him was he would just say, it would have been playoff time. He hated the Montreal Canadiens. I don't know the exact. He never got into detail, but I remember when he said it. I thought that was interesting, being French Canadian. But I always stick with me. Mm-hmm. I hate Montreal, and you know, I thought about the overtime goals, and it just was kind of interesting. He didn't say he hated Boston. He didn't say he hated Philly. But I'll never forget that. So
very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Al. Of course, there were fewer teams then, but every player in the league was Canadian. So you have a right. a much wider talent pool now, too.
You just, yeah. Yeah, I don't know the story there. I mean, I could guess, you know, he ended up being, you know, being in Toronto. Like, maybe Montreal didn't, you know, wasn't interested in Rene Robert as a, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old, and maybe that stuck with him. Yeah, it's the kind of thing that you yep. would maybe remember if you go on to have a fantastic career, like my hometown team, you know, snubbed me. I don't know that that's the case. You know, somebody could have plucked him away from Montreal, for all I know. But, it, you know, that would make sense as an explanation, I think.
We'll be back after the update for more. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.